This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. It's a Tuesday, the 30th of April, 7:06 a.m. This is The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning and Keith Kam. In half an hour, we are going to be discussing the retail outlook in China and also how its trade-in program and local subsidies are influencing retail sales. But as always, we're going to kickstart the morning with a recap on how global markets closed overnight.
Well, Wall Street ended higher. Investors, market players were looking out for the Federal Reserve interest rate decision as well as the jobs report. The Dow Jones closed up 0.4%. The S&P 500 rose 0.3%. The Nasdaq was also up 0.4%. Earlier in the day in Asia, it was also pretty much a green day. The Nikkei was up 0.8%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng was up 0.5%. Shanghai's composite was up 0.8%. Singapore's SDI was also up 0.2%. Back home, the FBM KLCI rose 0.5% to close at 1,583 points.
All right, for some thoughts on what's moving international markets, we have on the line with us Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Good morning, Joe. So markets expect the Fed Reserve to keep rates unchanged this Wednesday, given the sticky inflation. There are also some worries of stagflation starting to creep in following last week's mixed economic data. What's your sense on whether the U.S. can stick this soft landing, or is a hard landing in the making?
Well, not for this year, a hard landing. I mean, the economy, we saw the GDP number is 1.6% annualized. That was a little weaker than expected, but some of it can be explained by inventories and trade. The consumer is in good shape, unemployment rate below 4%, consumer spending. So I think Jay Powell is going to stay a little bit more on the hawkish side. You know, he's been burned so many times talking about cutting rates. I hope he just doesn't go there. He should just kind of hit the ball down the middle of the fairway and call it a day. So be slightly hawkish. Don't stop playing with the heads of the markets and just, you know, maintain that. They're not done. They're not done. If you're serious about 2% inflation target, they're not done.
And Joe, the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield is at 4.6%. It's up almost 80 basis points from its February low. Although the sell-off in U.S. Treasuries paused on Friday, many investors are still betting on further weakness and yields possibly rising to 5%. So in light of your perspective on inflation projections, what would be a prudent fixed income strategy?
I mean, we're looking at shorter duration, some of the private credit. I don't think if we touch 5% on the 10-year yield, we kind of work down from there. So I think, you know, 5%, you start to buy a little bit here. But, you know, there's still more disinflation working through goods, services, not just yet. So I still think, you know, year end or say third, fourth quarter, you're looking at a 10-year yield around 4.5, 4.25. So we got a lot of people buying two-year yields where they are right now, but just shorter durations, high quality, and look at the private credit as well.
But history tells us that when there's soaring yields, there usually follows a steep decline in stock prices. Is this going to happen?
You know, it depends on earnings. Earnings are coming in better than expected. So, I mean, you know, the bond market is one thing, the equity market another. So, you know, I don't think we're ready to break out on other side. That's the frustrating thing. You know, you talk about stagflation. That's just an ugly cocktail because it's you know, you're stuck between going 20 to 40 miles an hour, not 60 or nothing. So that's kind of, there's some frustration building in and caution. We're seeing some investors now sell their profits in technology and they're keeping the money. Now you're seeing more money move into the money market funds. It's still 6 trillion, 5% yield. So I think either or, equities or bonds, are just kind of waiting for the Fed, waiting for the next data point to come out.
If we take a look at corporate earnings, it is going to be a jam-packed week. We've got 175 companies in the S&P 500 index reporting first quarter earnings. Aside from the tech sector, where else do you think we're going to see a positive earnings surprise?
Yeah, we're looking more at the value, like I said, whether it's the industrials, materials, energy. We've seen a little pop here. So I think companies have done a very good job managing their way through, you know, the higher cost of capital. They're leveraging more AI, although it was very, very, very early in that type of space. So, you know, bottom line and top line are coming through. I mean, it's not just tech. We are seeing it broaden out. Financials kicked it off. We're seeing a little spreading in the energy. So I expect on the cyclical side of the equation and more value over growth, that's where you're starting to see the money being positioned.
Joe, I'm sure you've noticed the wild swing, or at least the wild decline of the yen breaking 160 on Monday. I think it's hovering around 156 against the dollar, a 34-year low. How much lower can the yen go?
I don't think it'll go much lower, because I do expect more open intervention by the Bank of Japan. Because they've got to be careful in terms of what that means for the inflation outlook. Mm. I mean, the weaker the yen, the more the inflation expectations become unanchored, and that's what the Bank of Japan doesn't want. I don't think the U.S. is pounding the table just now, but you know, we more protectionist slant to Congress, to the White House, and you know, Republican nominee Donald Trump. So, you know, a weaker currency, larger trade deficit invites more U.S. pressure to do something now as opposed to later.
And do you think this this sharp depreciation of the yen puts a spanner in the works in terms of what the Bank of Japan was supposed to do with their monetary policy and finally unwind its ultra-accommodative one?
I think it kind of throws off schedule. How, you know, the Bank of Japan wants to move very deliberately. And when I mean deliberately, I mean like move in years, not months or days. They want to go slow. So this is, you know, unwelcome, unexpected. It could, you know, maybe boost, you know, interest rates even more than they have to or want to when it comes to defending the currency. And that's what they don't want in terms of their growth outlook. So this is a complication that, you know, the markets, I bet you the traders continue to press down on the yen until intervention does come. And, you know, there's a lack of credibility on the part of the Bank of Japan in the eyes of the traders. Like, what's the fence line? What are they willing to step up and do? I'm believing the traders will keep pressing until they find out their answer.
And Joe, do you think this might be a good time to start shifting some attention towards Japanese equities or Japanese investments? And what actually does pique your interest there?
I mean, to me, Japan is more of a micro story. We like share activism, more mergers and acquisition, more companies, you know, kind of untangling some of these corporate alliances that doesn't allow for more shareholder volume transactions. So, you know, to me, it's more of a stock picking market, the Japanese market in general. But you know, we're starting to see a little bit more normalization in terms of how a stock market can be run. You know, share buybacks, mergers and acquisitions, activism. That's been missing for so long in Japan that I think it's still yet to be played out.
And if we can end on China, last week, UBS upgraded China and Hong Kong equities to overweight, while Goldman sees a more conducive trading environment for A shares. The Hang Seng Index rose a sharp 8.8% the past week. Do you share this change in sentiment on Chinese stocks?
Well, yes and no. And I sound just like a Wall Street guy. yes, I do, in the sense that, you know, China became dirt cheap. I mean, the valuations were very attractive. So, that's number one. But no, in the sense that, you know, if you're going to put money to work in China, you got to be careful. You have to understand what you're buying. You know, a command and control economy. You know, the government can flip gears really quickly. A lot of U.S. European protectionism pressure building. So, yes, China is attractively valued here, but there are a lot of accentuating risks that investors have to be very mindful of.
Joe, thanks as always for the chat. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, giving us his take on some of the trends that he sees moving markets in the days and weeks ahead.
Oh, I'm going to pay attention to the yen very closely and whether the Ministry of Finance is going to admit that they've been intervening. I think so far markets are uncertain about that. There's hints of it, but no confirmation. How much lower can it go? 160. I never thought I'll see that figure against the U.S. dollar.
I think it hit that back in the late 80s, early 90s.
34 years ago, yeah, Keith. Only you and I were around in the room,
I was actually
okay?
Trading in the Forex department at that time. So, yeah, that we'll move on from there. But yeah, indeed. I mean, there might be some interesting valuations as far as Japanese stocks are concerned. And I think it's something we can pay attention to.
Yeah,
but the volatility is the one that's scary.
Yeah, because the correlation is every time the yen weakens, then you see the Nikkei 225 actually rise. But I think it depends also how fast it falls. And then you get investors getting a little bit too nervous in terms of yen direction.
All right. Well, let's turn our attention over to what's been making headlines from the American corporate sphere. We do have earnings from Domino's Pizza. They exceeded expectations in the first quarter with strong sales and profit. This was driven by increased consumer engagement with its loyalty program in the U.S. So despite a challenging dining out landscape, Domino's saw a 5.6% rise in U.S. same-store sales, surpassing an analyst estimates of 4%. Pizza still the favorite in terms of probably dinner time options.
Yeah, they really delivered on the results there, didn't they?
Anyway,
their CEO, Russell Weiner, highlighted the effectiveness of deals over everyday low prices in driving customer response. Lower food costs, higher franchise fees also contributed to their improved margins, resulting in earnings of $3.58 per share, surpassing analysts' expectations of $3.39.
Okay, is it a favorite with analysts? Do they like the bite? Well, the answer is somewhat yes and no, because there's only 18 buys, 13 holds, 2 sells. Consensus target price for Domino's, $519. Current share price actually was up quite significantly during regular market hours to $28. Currently stands at $527.13. I won't be surprised if there were upgrades after today's call with the management.
All right, maybe we can squeeze in one more earnings report. This is from Yum China. They presented a robust performance for the first quarter. Their total revenue increased of 1% year-on-year to $2.96 billion, slightly below the estimated $3.05 billion. This was also supported by significant growth in delivery sales, which rose by 12%.
The group did exceed analyst expectations with a net income growth by 1.6% year-on-year to $287 million. The company is operating over 15,000 units, including prominent brands like KFC and Pizza Hut, and is continuing to aggressively expand.
Okay, so this is really a good proxy of China, right? Because it's about the fast food restaurant space there. Whether the Chinese consumer is actually, what's the sentiment like? Are they going out to spend? Because, of course, that data has been somewhat mixed. Now, does the street like this name? And I think the answer is pretty much yes, because everyone is expecting a recovery in China. So 36 buys, 3 holds, just 1 sell. Consensus target price is $54.81. The stock was up 39 cents to $40.04.
All right, it's 7:19 in the morning. We do have news coming out of our own local KFC franchises, which we're going to cover right after the break. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.